Today we are starting with a new sermon series, An Outlook for Life. In this series, we hope to explore together how we can look at certain elements of our life in the way that Jesus invites us to. We will be exploring an outlook on words today, and then as we continue, work, emotions, and relationships. So together, we are taking a look at the glasses we wear that shapes how we look at and see our life in God's world. Perhaps we can say our perspective as we choose another way of life. We will do so by journeying with the letter to the Ephesians. So I imagine Paul sitting down to write this letter, perhaps thinking to himself, they've chosen to follow Jesus, so let's get down to business. Let's get practical. A couple of things they need to realize. There are some things that have got to go and some new habits that they need to form. But they've got to know that they can only do this by allowing Jesus's transformative love to infiltrate their thoughts and their hearts. So let me spell it out. We each need to grow up and take our place in the body of Christ. Let's read just a part of this letter from Ephesians 4. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So we are to put off something and to put on something and grow into this new life that we are given as we enter into life with Jesus. Many years ago, I went to Russia and spent a couple of weeks with a family. They had recently moved to the countryside, very, very far away from what I saw as civilization. Outside their small house, they had a field which had not been taken care of for at least a season or two. It was winter and time to start preparing the field for spring. And for some reason, I was thought fit to work the field. I'd never before seen myself as physically tough before acquiring that task. Now, here's the thing. Everything had to be done manually. No machinery, limited and primitive tools, and no help except the playful girls of 9, 8, and 4 years old. Tienes and I were not married yet, and he was somewhat distracted by having to chop wood and something about how eating raw eggs makes you a real Russian. I was angry, frustrated, and frankly quite grumpy at having to work in the cold, hard ground of some tiny field in the middle of nowhere. I didn't get any meaningful epiphanies in that moment, but I remember the look and feel of the field, overgrown with weeds. Nothing could grow there, or so at least I thought in my moments of self-pity. I imagine my life being found in a similar way by Jesus. An unworked, overgrown field, looking desolate and dead. But he saw potential. He dreamt of what would grow here, and the gentle farmer has started working. But he works with me in all areas of my life, also with the way I speak and the words I say. And as I look at the scripture, I imagine Jesus inviting us to answer these three questions. The first one, will you let me enrich the soil of your heart and mind? Verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Our vocabulary places the heart as the control center of decision-making and thus what we do and say. But we know that in actual fact, all thought processes, language, decision-making, concept formation and interpretation, as well as our emotions, take place in our brains and then affect the rest of our body. When we thus say, as in Luke 6 verse 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, then this actually is a reference to what goes on in our mind. So perhaps we can interchange the words hearts and minds here. What goes on in our inner being comes out through our mouths. And when Paul speaks about maturing in Christian life and taking on this new life offered to us, he is clear that something needs to change within. The ground beneath the surface needs to be enriched, made new. Our farming companion wisely doesn't start wiping off leaves and trying to straighten bent stems, but looks to the ground and starts his work there. This is where the motivation and cause for our words begin, within. Think about how in a heated moment, you suddenly found that you've said something that you thought you'd never have said. The unguarded heart or mind, as we say, lets out the unfiltered truth of what is already there, what is going on within. So what, if I may ask, is going on within you? And I don't ask this to send us down a road of guilt, but rather to do some introspection. Where are the words you frequently say coming from? Consider someone who is always complaining. What does that say about the state of affairs in his mind? Could that person perhaps be in a state of negativity, fear, cynicism, which spills over as complaining about the country or her job or roads or load shedding? Consider someone who gossips. What are his thoughts occupied with? Perhaps comparisons to others to somehow feel like he is enough. Jealousy, discontentment. And perhaps we need also consider the passive-aggressive words spoken in such a way that you know you've been insulted, but it's so cleverly conveyed that you can't quite put your finger on what was so hurtful. Some of these ways of communicating destructively are gaslighting, patronizing, stereotyping, trivializing, or minimizing a person's feelings. A lot of these more passive-aggressive forms of foul language is born in a desire for power or for affirmation. Words are not just words. Words show the intent of our hearts. It gives us a glimpse into the state of our inner being. Becoming aware of this helps us to surrender to Jesus and to say yes as he gently begins to enrich the soil of our inner world. Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our transformation, as opposed to conformation, begins internally. So before we strenuously and futilely start working on the produce of our field has delivered, let's say yes to renewing the soil first. Our words can transform as our hearts and minds are transformed. The next question I think Jesus is asking us, are you willing to take out the weeds with me? Now, this is not a quick or painless task. It can be tedious and slow. I remember how I felt looking out at that field. Once you become aware of all the ways in which the old way of life, the old way of speaking is still stuck in you, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. By God's grace, we don't have to do it alone. Jesus walks with us, and as he renews our hearts and minds, he shows us, do you see that weed? That no longer belongs. Shall we pull it out? One by one, step by step, he works with us, weeding words that don't belong. We grow in awareness. So you may find that as you spend time with Jesus in your new life, that you feel invited to stop speaking sarcastically. Isn't this just a witty way to mock someone or something? Or you may feel invited to stop speaking negatively about others. Stop the destructive stories that you speak over yourself. Stop talking down to people. Stop bending truths. Stop manipulating others with words. and often weeds sprout again, and we need to remove them once again. The pulling out of foul and dirty words, falsehood, is something we need to continuously do as we mature in this new life we get to live. It's a habit that takes time and intentional work to change. It's rerouting the pathways in our brain that have been so deeply imprinted. It actually takes practice. Jesus says in Matthew that we will be held accountable for every empty word spoken. Every useless, idle, careless word spoken is heard. Jesus is in our conversations. But this shouldn't scare us or leave us in anxiety and stress. We know that he's forgiven us and that he is slowly transforming us. This should remind us of the impact and significance of our words. This should inspire us to renew our words. This should motivate us to remove the words that are not useful or helpful in communicating God's story of love and compassion and grace. Once we start pulling the weeds of foul and dirty words, the field is not left empty. There is now space to sow. So please don't simply stop talking. Just start talking differently. Which brings us to the third question Jesus asks us. Will you sow words of blessing with me? Yes, we will be held accountable for our words, but we will also be justified by our words. To me, this is something of how Jesus celebrates the life-giving words we speak, how he takes joy in the conversations that blesses another person, how he rejoices when we speak the truth in love and call forth the beautiful essence in the person in your company by recognizing and speaking it. What are words of blessing? Verse 29 unpacks this. Only what is helpful for building others up, not for promoting my own agenda. According to their needs, not fulfilling my own needs. That it may benefit those who listen, not simply the person speaking. These types of words and conversations are suited to our new life with Jesus. In these conversations, Jesus delights. So then, on the one hand, compliments may be words of blessing, but can at times simply be empty flattery. And on the other hand, criticism may not be as loveless as one thinks, but can, if motivated from and delivered in love, be a blessing. A word of blessing is speaking God's truth into another's life in a way that that person can receive it well. It may even be a wondering question asked in love. It's relaying the beauty, creativity, endurance, strength, worth, uniqueness, hopefulness that you see as God shows you and putting this into words that make it tangible. It's calling back to love. It's encouraging to love. It's authentic, true, reliable, and just. Words of blessing that build up and benefit are, as the message says, each word a gift. Have you received such a gift? Trevor once told a story from Barbara Glantz. There was a 19-year-old bagger, you know, the person who puts stuff in the bag when you check out at a store. And his name was Johnny. He had Down syndrome and thought often that he couldn't do anything special for the customers of the store. After all, he was just Johnny. He was just a bagger. And then he had an idea. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a really good thought for the day, for the next day. And if he couldn't find one someplace, he would make up his own. And then every night, he and his dad would sit down by the computer and his dad would help him enter the saying 6 times on a page on a computer. And then Johnny would sit for hours and print off 50 pages and cut up each thought, 300 copies. And he would sign his name personally to each of the thoughts. And then he would put the stack of them next to him while he worked the next day. And every time he finished packing someone's grocery bag, he would put his saying on top of the bag. And then he would stop and he would look the person in the eye and he would say, "I've put a great saying in your bag. And I hope that it helps you to have a good day. Thanks for coming in." That was Johnny. A month later, Barbara got a call from the store manager who said, "Barbara, you won't believe what's happening here. I was making my rounds, and when I got to the cashier lines, the line at Johnny's checkout queue was 3 times longer than anyone else's queue. It went all the way down to the frozen foods aisle. And so I got on the loudspeaker to get more checkout lines open. But they couldn't get any of the customers to move out of Johnny's line. They all said, "That's okay, we'll wait. We want to be in Johnny's line." One woman came up to him and grabbed his hand. "I need to shop in your store only once a week, and now I come in every day I go by just because I want to see you. I want to get Johnny's thought for the day." And Barbara Glan says, "Do you know who the most important person in the store is? It's Johnny. He's not top of the organizational chart. He's for sure not making the most money, but he is the most important person in that store." A few months later, the manager called Barbara back again and he said, "Barbara, you're not going to believe this. Johnny is transforming our store. He's challenging the whole culture of our operation. When the floral department now have a broken flower, they don't throw it away like they used to. Now they go out into the aisles and they find an elderly woman or a little girl and they just pin the flower onto them. The guys who make our shopping carts are actually working and the wheels work now. The whole culture of our store is changing." How can words of blessing transform our culture, our society, our homes? How can your words of blessing change one person's life? I carry a couple of phrases in my heart. These phrases were said by different people at different times in my life. Whenever I hit a low point in my life or feel insecure in myself or in my calling, I call these words to memory and ponder them. One of these phrases was said to me by someone who has never even met me. Another by someone who had no idea the weight her words would carry. Another phrase wasn't even said to me, it was said about me, and it gave me courage. They don't know that their words encourage and inspire me to keep finding myself in God, to keep risking beyond my comfort zone. They don't know that these words pull me through deep struggles. Words are more than words. They become slogans, mottos, mantras. So may we be those who offer wholesome words, helpful words, gifts in the form of words, relevant words, inspiring words, refreshing and surprising words. May our words offer God's acceptance and sustenance. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, your life has shown us the deep impact of helpful and meaningful and life-giving words. In our new life, we want to follow in your footsteps, also in the way that we speak. But Lord, we offer first our hearts and our minds so that you may transform us from within, so that you will give us the words of blessing that we can speak. We trust you for this discernment, Lord, for the opportunities and spaces where we can share your words of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of encouragement. Father God, thank you that we can find our value in you and that that can flow over in the way that we speak. We pray that you will use us to transform lives as you transform us. And Lord, where we need to think about what we're weeding out of this field with you, give us the grace to trust you. Give us the courage to keep working with you. And thank you, Lord, that by your grace, we don't have to do this alone. We can't do this alone. Thank you for this life that you are leading us to. Thank you for what we can already experience. transform our perspective, transform our hearts. And may we trust you more as we surrender to your love. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the love of God our Father, the friendship and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Amen.